topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Churchill said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." Kevin Hallinan believes that certainly applies to business. Welcome to Winning Business Radio here at W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. And now, your host, Kevin Hallinan.
Welcome back to Winning Business Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Hallinan. Good to have everyone here today. The mission of Winning Business Radio, as regular listeners know, is to offer insights and advice to help people avoid the mistakes of others, to learn best practices, you know, the how-tos, the what-tos, the what-not-tos, to be challenged and certainly to be inspired by the successes of others. Virtually every successful person I've ever talked to has had some form of failure in their lives and careers. So while we often get our knees skinned once in a while, you hear me say every week, I'm driven to keep those scrapes from needing major surgery. Let's endeavor to learn from history so we don't repeat it. Today, my guest is David McLaren, founder and owner of McLaren & Associates CPAs. Here's David's bio. David S. McLaren, I'm going to try to read these without a breath, CPA, CGMA, CRFAC, ABGOV, RFI, CRFAU, and his firm, McLaren & Associates CPAs, PC, got to say PC, specialize in dynamic strategic planning and tax preparation, as well as fraud detection and deterrence, forensic accounting and audits, profitability analysis and advisory services, divorce and estate planning. David earned a degree in accountancy from Bentley University, cum laude, and is a current member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, the Massachusetts Society of Certified Public Accountants, the American Board of Forensic Accounting, and Mensa. He also belongs to several networking groups, including the Business Networking International and Provisors, described as a community of professionals who serve their clients as trusted advisors and share the highest standards of integrity, performance, and accountability. Me too. David and his team have been voted the number one best forensic accounting firm in the Worcester, Massachusetts Business Journal Best of Business Awards for 2019, 2020, and 2021. In 2019 and 2020, McLaren & Associates CPAs PC was voted the number two accounting firm in the Worcester Telegram and Gazette Best of Central Mass Awards. David has been recognized as a Worcester Business Journal 40 Under 40 winner, celebrating business entrepreneurs and leaders who've achieved remarkable success before their 40th birthdays. David spends time with his adult daughter, Lisa, his wife, Kim, and their children, Sophia, Emma, and Max. They reside in Holden, Massachusetts, and have a dog named Paxton. David, welcome to Winning Business Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to see you.
You too. We can see each other. Listeners can't, but we can see each other. So tell us about your wife, Kim, and then we'll get to your kids for a second.
My wife, Kim's a doctor of psychology in the Worcester school system, and she does a lot of IEP testing to get kids set up for when they need special help.
Excellent. That's a big job.
Yeah.
And kind of a calling, too, no?
She worked in the court system for a long time, helping kids that were in trouble as well for 20 years until we had children. So she does a great job taking care of kids in need.
That's awesome. And your daughter, Lisa, tell us about her.
She's 28 years old, and she is a nurse at UMass Hospital. She was in the COVID unit during this whole pandemic, and she just got transferred to a neurology surgical unit. So she's much happier.
Did she stay healthy the whole time?
She did. She did. She did not get sick, and she got her vaccination. So she's very happy. I'm very proud of her.
That's awesome. So tell me about your other kids, Sophia, Emma, and Max.
Well, Sophia's nine. She's a student. Emma's six. She's a student. And Max is four. And he's like an old man.
You got to say, what does Max specialize in? You have your hands full.
Yes. It's chaos when I get home, might be late at night every night. It is still chaos no matter what.
This time of year anyway, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How are you holding up this time? Now, you got a brief reprieve, a slight reprieve, because the deadline's pushed back a month.
Deadlines pushed back a month, but only for individuals, not for their quarterly payments that are still due 415, not for trusts, not for estates, not for C corporations. And not every state has fallen in line with that as well. So it has caused a little bit of chaos trying to stay up on every state's rules as well as all the federal rules. And they're changing the laws similar to last year on a weekly basis. So trying to stay on top is pretty tough, but we're doing it.
That's good for you. All right. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in South Worcester, Mass.
And you say it properly.
I do.
Worcester. Those in Massachusetts, it's some, you know, people say Worcester.
Yes. And people outside call it Worcester.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's one of those cities. So talk about your upbringing. You know, tell people what it's like to grow up in that part of Worcester.
Well, that's a little bit different. I sort of grew up in a situation where my sister was sick and she had leukemia and it unfortunately started the divorce in my parents and ended up with mom as a single mom with her and my sister and had to go to chemo treatment three times a week. So mom had really struggled holding a job and it was back in the days of, well, bottom line is we couldn't get any money, so we ended up on the old-fashioned welfare system with the white boxes and the big black letters on them. There was never enough food. A lot of fights in school with the sister being bullied for her not having hair. Unfortunately, she passed away when I was 9. She was 11. And my mom switched from her faith to drugs and alcohol, and I ended up living on the streets. And that's where I started my beginning. I've been working since I was 11 years old and got my first more formal job when I was 14. And back in the probably 16, 17 year, that period was living in a car, homeless, and worked my way up to get to where I am now. So it's been a tough journey, but a well worth it journey.
So this is something I didn't know coming into this interview. And yet when you hear where David is now, I didn't know what we just learned. It's a tremendous story now, even more so. I mean, I wanted to talk about your growing the firm and all that. Let me ask this. How did that experience or how has that experience shaped you in terms of drive and accomplishments?
So for me, I don't think there was any way out of where I was unless I was going to follow where I saw a lot of other kids go, which was crime, drugs, prison, early death. So I did not want to be on the system that I saw. I was in that what we called the hole back then. You were too old to be adopted and too young to get any type of government help. So you really either had to figure out a way to pull up your bootstraps and actually make something happen of yourself and get what everybody else has by working hard and taking opportunities, or are you going to switch to a life of crime? I certainly remember those days of being in the car in the winter and trying to make a decision. Am I going to start the car and turn on the heat? Or take the chance I don't wake up in the morning because I freeze to death. So, you know, I'm used to you had to run over to one restaurant, run up to their salad bar, grab some crackers, and then go across the street to Burger King and ketchup and mustard and those crackers were your meal for the week.
Oh, my
so
Lord.
For me, it was, you know, I never saw anyone suffer the way I saw my sister suffer.
Yeah.
She never complained. She never said she wished she didn't have leukemia. All the spinal taps and everything else she went through. So I thought whatever I'm going through was never as bad as what she did. So I wanted to really build a legacy for her memory and really make something of myself to show my father I could do better than him, but honor my sister as well. And hopefully if things were going to be successful, I could give back to the community and create something very different.
And you did, by the way. How did you make it through school and high school?
So I used to be a straight A student and still I was going through trying to do homework in the car. And then I started really having major problems at night when you're trying to make sure your battery doesn't die. And because you can't afford to ever get a tow truck, you're done. And that's your home and everything you own in there. I did started getting my first F warnings in school. I was in AP biology and some of the other AP classes. And I got pulled aside by one of the teachers who said, you know, I don't understand why you can't get your homework done. I explained to her my situation, and then she hit me with what I thought would be understanding. Instead, it was, are you going to be a man or a mouse? Are you going to have excuses your whole life? Are you going to make something of yourself? You will never be anything if all you're going to do is have excuses. I don't want to hear them anymore. Get your homework done. And granted, I was pretty upset, But that was a turning point for me in high school to say, well, now I need to show her I'm going to graduate top of the class. And I did. I graduated like seventh in the class of 350 students.
That is tremendous. Tremendous. I have a whole new respect for you. I really do. And I respected you a lot before because of what you do and the education it requires. But wow. So why did you choose Bentley? How did you get in? How did you pay for it?
So Bentley, I had to go before the board. Not having an address makes it a little tricky getting into college. And I wrote this big essay on what I would do and how hard I would work. And they took a chance on me. And so back then, the cheapest college around was a community college. It was $700 a year, but I didn't have $700 a year. And Bentley at that time was $24,000 a year. Well, of course, I didn't have that either. So I thought, well, why not go to the top one when I can't afford the cheapest one? And the board took a chance on me, and I went in and I worked two jobs and worked at the college and did a full course load as well. And it wasn't easy. I certainly did not have fun in college. I would not say I fit in driving in a, you know, old 1980 Monte Carlo with long hair and a denim jacket and a Hard Rock t-shirt. But I went in there, and when I was done, I graduated, I think, 45th in the total class of, I think, all their students, like 10,000 students.
Wow.
I had a bunch of student loans when I graduated, and I made that a priority to try to get paid off as early as possible.
That's outstanding. And for anybody that's listening, thinking, and I'm saying this to myself and to the listeners, if we think we've got it rough, I don't think it compares.
Well, it does give you a perspective. I will say one thing it teaches you is that big difference between need and want. Mm. What do you really need? And what does need mean? And yes, you need shelter over your head. But once you've lived in a car, you realize that you don't need a big expensive house. You don't need a big expensive car. There's nothing wrong with those things, and you certainly should treat yourself. But, you know, what do you need? You need to eat. You need to have shelter. You need clothing. And the rest of the stuff you can figure out. So it does put things into a very different perspective.
Do you share any of that advice with clients? Because that's a good message from a CPA to his or her clients. I'm just curious if that creeps its way into your thinking.
I do. The biggest challenge I find, though, is most clients' focus is going to be on the revenue side. I need to make more, when in almost every single circumstance I've seen, it's they spend too much. And it's not a judgment call. I've got clients that make $2 million a year, but they spend $2 million, $10,000. So they're always spending more than they make. And then I have clients that make $30,000 a year, but they're somehow able to save $3,000 or $4,000 a year. And they're below the poverty level. So, how do people do that? It's based on a lot of what they spend. I see people become successful, and the more successful they are, the bar on what they spend keeps going over what they make. And so just being able to keep that bar below what you make and always put something away will change your future. I cannot stress that enough. It will completely change your future. A little sacrifice today allows you to get whatever you want in the future because your money can work for you.
That's an incredible message right there. Why did you choose accounting? Did you know you wanted to do that from the get-go or what?
No, my father is an accountant. We're not connected. I wanted to get into business because living on the street, I thought, well, all the people that I saw who drove nice cars were in business, so I think I need to get in business. Yep. Guidance counselor says you can't just pick business. That's too general. You need to pick something. Here's a list of all the business categories, and the first thing was the letter A, accounting. So I thought, well, hey, that's two birds of one stone. Well, I'll take accounting. It's first. Because it doesn't matter to me. And then number two, you know what? I'll turn around and show my father I'll be much better than him because he never became a CPA.
Wow.
Might not be the right reason to get into it, but that is the reason. And I decided whatever I was going to do, I would be the absolute best at whatever I was going to do.
That's outstanding. And you're a member of Mensa. And all of a sudden, I was feeling pretty good coming into this interview. Now I'm feeling like totally eclipsed. And now even more so, Mensa. When did you figure that out? When did you decide to join, etc.?
That was probably...
Oh, by the way, for others who may not know what Mensa is, why don't you talk about that?
Mensa is an organization for people that if they pass the exams are in the, I guess, top 2% highest IQs. Mm-hmm. So I honestly don't really tell many people about that. That's probably used more in court. But outside of that, a lot of people that ends up becoming they're snotty or they think they're better than other people. And that's not the case, especially for me, because I've got to be one of the least judgmental people because of my background. So I think I found out about it when I met my wife, and she had heard about everything, and just she thought it would make sense to take the tests and see if I would pass. She thought my IQ was higher, and I had no idea. I mean, I mean, where I came from, no one would ever even talk about IQ.
Well, she must have thought you were smart for choosing her, no?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, David, we're going to take our first break right here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Everybody, come on back. We're with David McLaren, founder and owner of McLaren & Associates CPAs.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
You can tell what's wrong with a car just by sitting next to it at a red light. You can tear down a big block engine in 26 minutes. You know cars. We can help you find more of them to work on. And together, we can get your small business moving in the right direction. At AT&T Advertising Solutions, we have more ways to reach more people. With print, online, mobile, and direct marketing, AT&T Advertising Solutions has local advertising experts to help your small business find more customers. Call 1-800-GET-REAL to learn more. AT&T, rethink possible.
Is your pet overweight? Suffer from itchy skin and coat problems? Showing signs of food allergies? Then do your pet a favor. Stop by Fiesta Pet Deli. South Florida's original and only fresh food deli for pets. Prepared daily and FDA approved with products like Bravo, Nature's Variety, and BioComplete. Listen, dogs and cats are carnivores. 90% of their diet should be meat. That dry kibble you put in their bowl every day contains less than half of what their bodies require. Veterinarian owned and operated, Fiesta Pet Deli has one mission: to get your pet as healthy as possible. Give them a call today at 954-971-2500 or come check out their new store at the Festival Flea Marketplace at Sample Road and the Turnpike in Pompano, Florida. They also offer free local delivery, shipping throughout the United States. Check out their website at www.realfoodforpets.com or just Google Fiesta Pet Deli. If you truly love your pet and care about their health, stop by Fiesta Pet Deli. Call today at 954-971-2500.
Hey, this is Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
Have you ever dreamt of being on the radio? Well, now is your chance. Be a radio show guest on the number one ranked internet radio station and promote you and your business for free. Yes, you heard it, free. Business advertising right here on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 now to get booked on one of our shows. That's 561-506-4031. Get your free advertising now.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind: to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back again with David McLaren, founder and owner of McLaren & Associates CPAs. And David, what a great story so far. You graduated from Bentley in 92, did great, number 45 in your class. What did you do right after college?
Right after college, I was already working for UPS. I started working doing taxes since I was 14, but I had gone into UPS.
Back up. Say that again.
Oh, so I was working in taxes since I was 14.
14.
Yep, doing personal taxes. I was doing sales taxes for one business, as well as their payroll taxes and their payroll tax forms and quarterly payments.
That begs the question. Sorry to interrupt, but that begs the question. How did you know what you were doing?
I started taking high school courses on accounting.
Wow.
And then immediately just started studying and reading as much as possible. So any time that I had, and I hate to say I had a lot of free time, because certainly in high school there wasn't wasn't much free time. In college, I had even less, but it was all about anything, kind of being a sponge. What could I find that I could possibly use to help other people and sort of make a difference? I certainly wasn't expensive labor at 14. I think I was making $1.25 an hour.
Killing it. So you were, so you didn't get into public accounting, or when did you get your CPA? What year was that? Do you remember?
So CPA, I was after my 3-year apprenticeship in 1995. So 95. I passed the exam the year I graduated, the CPA exam, and then you had to do your 3 years with the public accounting firm. But right when I graduated, I was doing a stint I had with United Parcel Service when they had part of their headquarters up here in Westboro that covered the East Coast. And I was working on their depreciation system for their vehicles. And I used to do the bank reconciliation, which in those days used to come in a giant dolly about 6 feet tall with all
holy
the old
cow, yeah.
white printer paper with the holes on the sides. So, but
is
then
that, go ahead. I'm sorry, is that where you started to learn about forensic accounting?
Well, no, I have always been into forensic accounting. I wanted to go into the FBI, and I was thinking things like a bad back might prevent me from going through the process, and it turned out it was my vision. You can't have worse than 2200 vision or you weren't allowed to go in, at least back then.
No kidding.
So even with contacts or glasses, I don't know if it was, you know, can't take the chance they get knocked off and you shoot the wrong person, but you couldn't go into any of the agencies, which I didn't know when I started the process.
So in 2002, you joined a CPA firm. Is it Goulet, Salvito & Associates?
So in 2002, yes, I did join them in 2002. That was the third CPA firm I'd been with.
Okay, the third firm. Talk about that firm, and I just bring it up because it's on your LinkedIn profile. And talk about maybe key takeaways. You can include key takeaways from that 10-year period as well. What did you learn during that time? Sounds like you've learned a ton. So
they're a great firm. I think that we just had a very different view. My view was really on we as an accountant need to proactively show business owners everything that they're not taking advantage of and let them pick and choose which elections, deductions, credits that they want to go for, but explain them in layman's terms. And I think more of the view there was more of, no, clients want the cheapest fee and just get the prep done work for them. So I don't believe in just dropping numbers on forms. I believe, well, I'm the person who's taking all this education every year to stay on top of the laws. I'm the person who's making sure that just to renew my license, I'm taking all this education. Mm. Why wouldn't I present that to my clients? That's what I'm here for, is to help them. But I can't do that in a small budget. So therefore, is a client going to pay me a lot more money if I can save them $10,000 more than my fee, or $50,000 or $100,000 more? And my belief is yes. But of course, it's going to take all that extra time to do it versus, you know, do you want to hire me just to put the numbers on the forms? You could do that yourself on TurboTax. Do you want me to just replace a software? Yes, that might save you some time because it's going to take you whatever number of hours to do, and I'll do that for you. But I believe there's really value to be added there. If I can show you, here's red flags that are going to cause a problem. Here's things that are going to save you a fortune that now you can use to hire more employees, put money in your retirement, pay off your debt, and put your kids through school. That's what I feel my job is, and it's to positively change your life. And so it wasn't a fit. So we ended up separating, and I started my own firm right after.
All right. Wasn't that a bold move?
Leaving
one firm is not, that's somewhat bold. Okay. But starting your own firm right away seems gutsy.
Terrifying, since I didn't have much to fall back on, and I had to start it out of my living room. And we're now 15 years later. We just hired our 17th person, and we're looking for two more. We're looking for another bookkeeper, another administrative person, which will bring us to 19. A year ago in the paper, they said we're the ninth largest in Central Mass. Now I don't know if that number's gone up or not, but it's all been by natural growth. We haven't bought anybody out. It's all just been from helping so many people and the word spreading.
Good work and hard work.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the reasons we went and became a certified B Corp. We were the first firm.
Yeah, talk about that. Sorry.
So we became the first CPA firm to become a certified B Corp. That's where you get a certification through the National B Lab. It's a nonprofit organization that certifies companies that have stopped the focus being their bottom line and changed that focus to be on helping their community and their environment and changing the world. So with our focus being on making a positive difference in as many lives as possible, we've got a couple of schools in Worcester that we support and have programs for. We've got a girl we sponsor in Zambia. We have nonprofits that we support, but here it's also a recycling program. We stopped 3.5 tons of paper from going into a landfill in the past year. We pay for wind power. We pay people differently here. My firm, I'm sort of just the veto guy. Mm-hmm. The team runs the firm. My team hires people. When I say team, I mean if you join the firm, everybody here interviews the whole all the employees to see that that's who they want to work with. And they're also, everyone terminates you. They just determine the policies, the procedures, everything is really done very different. So it's worked very well. It's sort of a belief that you'll do well by doing good.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Go back to the formation. What were some of the biggest decisions you had to make, apart from maybe where you get an office, but also did you become a certified B Corp from the get-go, or what did you change to that at some point?
We've been a certified B Corp for a little over 2 years now. So it wasn't right from the beginning. Certainly from the beginning was starting in my living room and having that fear of how am I going to know what I don't know? How will I know if I transpose a number, make a mistake? And the bigger and better clients I meet, I can't meet them in my living room.
Right.
So I've got to look more professional. So I got involved in the office building that I'm in now that already had a financial advisor and an attorney in. And I made the decision to take my life savings and buy in. And it was everything I had, which was terrifying. Yeah, I had a pull-out bed put into one of the offices in the building just in case I lost my house and it didn't work out.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't be in my car. I'm just a plan A, B, C, D, and E guy. So I just was a little unsure if I'd make my next mortgage payment after putting everything into the building. And it's just taken off from here.
What advice? Two things. What would you have done differently given the opportunity, again, when it comes to starting the company? And what advice would you have for someone else starting a company, not necessarily a CPA firm?
I think maybe the few things that come right to mind are, one, I'd worry a lot less. I was panicked all the time. Everything was a panic. I'd always felt like the sky was falling, and it truly wasn't. And I think I had a lot less faith in myself than everybody else had in me. It was certainly wanted to make sure I had the right entity from the start. And I think that's important for business owners, getting the right entity to be in, whether you should be a sole proprietorship or an S Corp or a C Corp, and doing that at the right time can cost or save you so much money in taxes. That's imperative. And I think the last biggest thing that really comes to mind is my first hire. When it was time to hire someone, being afraid of pulling that trigger until finally realizing I can do a lot more when I'm billable and helping clients and taking care of work versus administrative work and writing up bills and doing things that have to be done. But if they have to be done by me, then I can't grow anymore.
So your first hire was an admin of sorts.
First hire was a part-time admin. Mm-hmm. My next hire was a part-time accountant. Mm-hmm. That was 14 years ago, and she's still with me.
Wow, that's outstanding. Outstanding. All right. We've got a minute or so before the next break, 90 seconds. Talk about your designations, CPA, CGMA. I'll read them. CPA.
Certified public accountant. Most people are familiar with that. Yeah. We are licensed to take care of financial statements, taxes, things of that sort.
Study, do your homework, take the exam and pass.
Yeah, it's a 19-hour exam, and then you have to have 5 years of college. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit tougher, and then you have to have an apprenticeship for 3 years, or at least you did back then.
How about the CGMA?
That's Chartered Global Management Accountants. It's for running companies locally, nationally, internationally. Largest company I was associated with was owned and run by the Ministry of Defense, and I was the director of finance. That had a big forensic background. It was all tracking computer hackers and funds.
Mm-hmm. Wow. CRFAC.
Certified Forensic Accountant. We track down lost, hidden, and stolen money for divorce cases, partner theft, employee theft cases.
I'll ask you about an example of that after the break. ABGOV.
That's a certified governmental forensic accountant. So that's someone who has worked doing forensics for the government. that is also a forensic accountant, but is in private industry. So most of the people that you'll find with that designation are probably working for the FBI or the government.
Interesting. Wow. RFI.
Registered Forensic Investigator.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. I thought you were going to add to that.
Yeah. So basically, I can do forensics across state lines.
Okay. CRFAU.
Certified Forensic Auditor. So wow. Tracking down fraud and financial statements.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that. A lot of that. All right. Thank you for that. That takes us right to the first half of the hour. We will take another break right here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with David McLaren, founder and owner of McLaren & Associates CPAs.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
This is Colt Ford, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
Be seen, be heard on the Internet's number one ranked radio station right here in West Palm Beach. What a way for your business to have a voice. Now is the time to advertise your business on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 for a deal you won't refuse. Again, that's 561-506-4031. Don't wait. Call now.
Hey, this is Johnny Three Tears from Hollywood Undead, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
I do whatever it takes to make it break through. Anything I'm face to face with, it's true.
Have you ever dreamed of having your own radio show? Well, W4CY Radio makes dreams come true. You can be a radio personality on the number one ranked internet radio station in West Palm Beach, Florida. We can be heard in 105 countries and all U.S. states. Promote your business. Earn up to $10,000 per month and more. It's all up to you. Have fun and be heard. Call 561-506-4031. That's 561-506-4031. Start your radio show now.
Now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind, to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back with David McLaren, founder and owner of McLaren & Associates CPAs. A fascinating story in my opinion. If somebody realized today that we were going to have a CPA on, they might have gone, it couldn't be farther from the truth. So let's talk specifically, David, about the work that you do with your clients. In fact, there's one phrase I want you to clarify, because I've heard some of it, but I haven't heard this word dynamic. What do you mean by dynamic strategic tax planning?
So what we really do is it's proactively working with business owners, tearing apart your business. We do a huge interview process every year to get to know exactly what's going on, so mm-hmm. I can start pinging you with all kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. We really are specialists in certain industries. So if I get your information and you're in the industries that we cover, I already know what it should look like, what expenses should be certain percentages of revenue. Mm-hmm. So if I don't get something, I'm going to go, well, Kevin, hey, you didn't give me blah, blah, blah. Did you know that you can do that? Are you doing that? You know, you can account for that. There's a deduction or there's an election or, hey, this thing really sticks out. I don't know. Is this right? Is this what's inside this expense? Things don't make sense. So we'll show you the things that are red flags are going to cause a problem. Things that look like, wait a minute, how come I don't see this all your competition is doing this? Mm. How come you're not doing this? How come all your competition, the cost is this? Yours is through the roof. Maybe we should shop that around. So it's a lot more than just taxes. It ends mm-hmm. up becoming, you know, these things are sticking out. Maybe you should be shopping your insurance. Maybe you should take a look at this. So it's really tailored to each client individually. And then we come up with sort of a tax strategy, maybe give them 12 strategies and let them pick and choose. We talk to them in layman's terms about what they are, what they mean, and what we would recommend for them. And then mm-hmm. we let them pick and choose what fits for them.
We're not giving tax advice here today. You know, that's not our point. Our point is to learn about you and help people hear from you. But what are some of the biggest problems or mistakes you see people make?
The number one and easiest to correct is records. I cannot tell you the number of clients I see with their records aren't where they need to be. And a business owner is only doing the records because they think they need to for taxes as opposed to a tool for their business.
Yeah.
What happens is things aren't recorded right. Now, things might sound like, well, what does it matter? If it's an advertising or telephone expense, what does it matter? You're right. Those might not matter as much. But the things we see are you got a bank loan. The bookkeeper, which sometimes is a family member, put it in sales. You are now paying tax on the money you just borrowed from the bank.
Oh, man.
Oh, your business is short of money, so you take $50,000 of your own from a home equity and put it into the business. Mm-hmm. Again, gets picked up as sales, and you just paid tax on your own money you loaned to the company.
Oh, man.
That's the type, and you never know. And if I'm the accountant who just drops your numbers on the tax return, I never know either. So we go through this process to make sure that that does not happen on my watch. So the records are the easiest thing to fix and probably the best tool you can use for your business. And if you're not, your accountant should be talking to you to show you how to use them to make your business better.
By all means. Okay, another category here is fraud protection and deterrence work. And you've been involved in many fraud investigations too, right?
Yes, forensics is a big part of the firm. That's probably 35% of the work we do, and that is really tracked.
That's a big percentage.
Yeah, it's been the fastest growing part of the firm. A lot more of partner theft, where our partners, a lot of businesses, one owner is the person who's in charge of all the money and the records, and everyone else is out doing sales or management or project management. And that leaves a huge opportunity open when no one's looking at the record. So we do a lot of partner theft cases, a lot of estate theft when your brother feels you were rough to him, Kevin. So therefore, now that dad passed away, he says that 50% of the money is yours and he gives you a check for 10 grand. And you go, I thought dad had $1 million. No. Dad blew all that money away. We go in there and track down that money that's missing or make sure money was spent the right way. We do that in cases, though, where it doesn't have to be a negative or fraudulent. It could be dad doesn't want anyone to know where his money is. Now he passed away. All right, Kevin, you're in charge of his estate. What are you going to do? You don't even know where to start. We jump into action and track down where all the assets are so you can get them to the right family members or even for yourself.
And it's then, interesting. It's interesting you talked about partnership theft. Come to find out, you know, years later after the business was gone, my father had his high school buddy who he went into business with and was in business with for, as I recall, 30 years or maybe 25 years, stealing from him. Never knew.
That is so common. That represents, of the cases that we handle, I bet you that represents about 30% of the cases that we handle. Wow. Well, you know what it is? It was based on trust. And I always say in business, there's no trust in business. Set up procedures and policies in business, and that way you don't have to worry about it.
Well, what did Ronald Reagan say? Remember that?
I don't remember that one.
He said trust, but verify. He was talking about
that's right. Yes, he did.
Yeah. No, so go ahead.
So that's very common. And then, we do divorce cases as well, where there can be a propensity to not disclose everything, including your income, because you don't want to split it with the spouse. So we are frequently in those type of cases as well. We also do a lot of forensics for business valuation cases. While we do business valuations, we also do forensics for business valuation cases because your business value is based on what that business generates for profit, whether it's for someone you're selling to, whether it's in a divorce case, estate taxes. Well, if that profit's not the right number, then the valuation's not the right number.
Right.
It's that simple. So we go in and there could be personal expenses flushed through. There could be income that's not reported properly. There could be income that's reported wrong the other direction where, well, clearly the bank loan that came in is not your sales. So all those things are things that are part of what we do and we are very passionate about doing.
Do you offer bookkeeping services for your clients or do you leave that up to them?
We do record keeping, but the record keeping we have is not the typical record keeping. Mm-hmm. So it's a specific type of client that would want to hire us. If people just want to get their books done, that's not us. We're going to give you CPA oversight. We're going to alert you when you have too much revenue that's going to cause a big tax problem that's not planned for, because we're planning at all times for you. So all of a sudden, if something zooms out of control, congratulations. But now we got to address the tax problem we're going to have. We're going to let you know you're going to have a cash shortage problem. We go and get the debt for you, the loans, the line of credit. We're going to fight you on getting more debt if there's something else going on in the business that says that the problem can't get fixed. We only want that debt to be temporary. You know, we want a line of credit, not to give you money forever, but to get you through a hump. And let's get the business more profitable so we can get rid of debt for you, so you can use all this money for your future, for adding jobs, for your retirement, for putting your kids through school, or giving you an amazing life that you never dreamed of.
All right, this is a little bit of a pet peeve, so I want you to give a pitch on why a business should have a budget.
So you need to have a budget, because if you don't have a budget, you don't have a plan. You don't have a plan, how are you ever going to achieve your goal when you don't have a plan to get there? It's like saying, okay, I've got a roadmap. Well, what's the destination? Well, I don't know what the destination is, so what is a roadmap going to help me? So at least the roadmap helps you get you to the destination you want to get to. It helps make sure you have things in check, helps make sure that you don't go over anywhere, or at least there's reasons. So you are now running and working on your business instead of just working in your business.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, you've received multiple awards. I'm going to read a couple of these. Number one, these were in the bio, but I want to read them again. Best Forensic Accounting Firm in the Worcester Business Journal, Best of Business Awards, 19, 20, and 21. For 19 and 20, number two accounting firm in the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, Best of Central Mass Awards. What are you most proud of there? And I'll get to the 40 under 40 in a second.
I love the Worcester Business Journal Best Forensic Accounting Firm. We've got a lot of competition, whether people that are on their own or are huge firms, and it's great to be recognized. I mean, we do take a bit of a different approach. And I don't want to badmouth all my people that I work with in my industry, but we will not take what I call the forensic shovel and just start digging. And then when you say, I can't take the fees anymore, go, well, couldn't find anything, so that's the best I could do, and you called it off. We don't believe in that. We'll assess your case up front, and I'll make a determination right there whether you really have a case. And I can tell you with all honesty as of today, we have never had a case that we took on where we didn't find a huge amount of fraud. Wow. Every single case. Wow. Because we'll do that assessment up front. I never want you to tell me after paying us a lot of money, Dave, you never found anything. Well, there was nothing there, Kevin, but you can sleep well at night. And thank you for helping pay our bills. Have a great day.
So the good news, bad news. The good news is you find it. The bad news, it was there to find.
Yes. And unfortunately, in every case we've ever found, whatever you think is theft, what we find is just ginormous compared to what you think.
So we talked about trust. How does this happen?
It happens because of trust. Not having policies or procedures, maybe making a decision in the business where an employee or a partner is handling all the finances and you take a blind eye to it because you're so busy doing everything else. No one ever is meeting, going through financial records and understanding what's happening. And if things aren't happening the way you planned, if something doesn't make sense, you know, there should be a third party involved. Have the accountant involved where things are explained. This is what's happening. This is why you work there every day. So that way, if somebody says, well, you guys are losing a ton of money, and you go, well, I don't deal with the finances, but that doesn't make any sense. I know I increased our sales by 30%, and I know everything is profitable. You catch things very early that way. But what typically happens is it's 10 years later and you go, I'm told we can't make any money. We're losing our shirt, but it doesn't make any sense. And I go in there and we start finding, I mean, I've had times when people thought their partner sold $50,000 and when we're done at $6 million over 10 years. And it's just, it's life shattering.
And that money will probably never be recovered, right?
It depends. The only time the money is recovered is when it hasn't gone to a bad cause. And by a bad cause, I mean already being spent on non-assets like drugs, gambling, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. If your person who's stolen it has built their $10 million mansion with no mortgage on it, you can go get that mansion. Or if they hold the bank account, you can get the bank accounts or the investments. Unfortunately, a lot of cases, the money's gone forever. It's drugs, it's gambling, it's a lifestyle where the money's just spent, it's gone.
Is it fair to say that most people who commit that fraud don't set out, hey, I'm going to steal money, things happen, they get first of all, they're probably put in a position where they're capable, where it's possible, and the temptation, because of maybe life pressures, gets the better of them?
There are different cases, but it's what we call the fraud triangle, which also today they will call the fraud diamond. But on the fraud triangle, it's justification, opportunity, and need. Typically, and you have all three. Typically, people don't steal if they don't have a need. So there's some type of need there. Opportunity, you can't steal if you're not allowed to steal, you don't have access.
Right.
And then there's the justification. And the justification is always something you'd never expect.
I had it coming to me. He didn't pay me well enough, whatever, right?
I put in 10 times more hours than you. I'm the one who put everything into this company. If it wasn't for me, the list goes on and on. You yelled at me today. List goes on and on. And those three things usually set up for when theft starts. And theft justification can be, and I've heard this as well, I didn't steal $6 million from you, Kevin. I was going to put it back, and I still plan on it. I just can't right now.
Wow.
That is incredibly, because they have to be able to sleep with themselves at night. Yeah. And then, of course, the diamond part of it is they add capability. But capability is very hard to test, because they say 10% of the people, given the opportunity, will always steal. 10% of the people will never steal. Hmm. And then 80% can be swayed one direction or the other. That means you have to watch out for 90% of the people.
Oh, wow. Incredible.
I'm sure many people may say, well, that's offensive. And I don't mean that to be offensive. But if you close your eyes and think of what could possibly make me steal. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if your child has cancer and
$500,000
and there's no way that insurance or anything, and the only way to save them is this? Would you do it for that? Right. And you'd be surprised how many people would say, well, of course I would. Well, it's still stealing. I'm not saying it's not justified. I'm not. But that's the number one thing that actually happens.
All right. Tell us quickly about 40 under 40. That's a big award, I think.
40 under 40 was because of some of the things that had gone on in my past, how successful and quickly the firm became, our support for the things that we do in the Worcester school system, as well as we were working closely with the nonprofit that took care of kids with cancer. They felt that they should recognize me, so I got an award for the from the state government, as well as the Worcester Business Journal, and I was proud to be recognized. Someone sponsored me and threw me in the ring. So.
Outstanding. You deserved it. Deserve. Present tense, not past. Who's an ideal client, and what does a typical engagement look like?
Well, certainly the forensics and business valuations tend to be very transactional, and only we might even be working for another CPA firm. So our ongoing clientele are really those tax strategy clients. They're the business owners that are growing. Maybe they get to a point they can't understand. They can't get over a hump. They don't understand their financials. The most common are ones in the service industries that also complain, going, I do not understand why I'm paying so much in taxes, and everyone just keeps telling me because I make so much money, but no one will give me any advice. Those are the ones that really value the stuff that we end up providing. So we end up saving, showing them how much money we can save them. We got our top 75 tax strategies that aren't typically used, and usually we can save them a lot of money, and that's what gets them turned on. But if not the typical person who says, I just want my taxes done, that's not going to be us.
Not a good fit. There are firms that specialize in that.
Yes.
Good firms too, I'm sure. And clients, it sounds like, are probably with you for a number of years, if not indefinitely.
Oldest client's been with me for 30 years.
Wow.
Well before my own firm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they've hopped with me from firm to firm.
Wow. And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're like the accounting mob. We try to get you in here for life, and then you can't ever leave.
That's right. And they're local to international, I understand.
Yes, yeah. Well, actually, we've got a huge amount that are in New York and Maine. Even though we're in Massachusetts, we've got clients in all over the country, Georgia, California, Illinois. But we've got clients in China, Italy, Germany as well, and the UK.
And you're able to handle those international nuances and differences?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We stay up to date on those as well. We do not stay up to date on all the countries, but we do a lot with China and the European countries.
All right. So here's a fun one. You remember the Porsche Club of America? Talk about that.
Push, a club of America. So, you know, it's funny. This is actually the long, short story of how I met you was I joined that group. Someone talked to us. We went to a couple of what they call rambles where all these Porsche people get together. They have a nice dinner and then they come up with a route and drive it for 2 hours or 3 hours. So you see like a giant parade of 300 cars driving through some small, sleepy Vermont town with elderly people out there shaking their fists at you because your car is too loud. and one of those members talked me into going and doing some of the autocross training where you do racing, but it's using cones and U-turns, and it's more about car control because if you go too fast, you spin out and lose your car control. And he's the one who actually introduced me to Provisors, which is how I met you.
Yes, that's right. All right, couple of last questions. We are almost out of time. Who in the listening audience should contact you? Why, and then how do they reach out?
Any business owner who's got a profitable business that is really unhappy with how much they're paying in taxes and doesn't feel they're getting advice, best way to reach me, certainly you can give us a call anytime at 508-842-0459 and feel free to talk to me or one of my team and we can help you get on track or get you to a better place.
Awesome. I'm going to give that number one more time. 508-842-0459. Or you can find David McLaren, CPA, on LinkedIn. That's an easy way, too. David, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
You got it. And thanks, everybody, for listening. This is a show about business and business challenges. If you've got concerns about the growth of your company, feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn at Winning Business Radio, or you can drop me a note, kevin@winningbusinessradio.com. That's for this purpose, one of the easiest email addresses. Our company is Winning Incorporated. We develop sales teams into high achievers and sales leaders into true coaches and mentors. We're not a fit for everybody, but you know what? Maybe we should have a conversation. Thank you, as always, to expert engineer Rebel Medler. Tune in again next Monday, April 5th at 4 p.m. Eastern. We're going to do it all over again. Until then, this is Kevin Hallinan.
You've been listening to Winning Business Radio with your host, Kevin Hallinan. If you missed any part of this episode, the podcast is available on Talk 4 Podcasting and iHeartRadio. For more information and questions, go to winningbusinessradio.com or check us out on social media. Tune in again next week and every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to listen live to Winning Business Radio on W4CY Radio, W4CY.com. Until then, let's succeed where others have failed. And win in business with Kevin Hallinan and Winning Business Radio.